Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
In the Christian world, you can have a lot of different elements, but without faith, you miss everything. Faith is essential for being all that God wants you to be. It's by faith that we believe in Christ. It's by faith that we grow in Christ. It's by faith that we apply the word. Faith, faith, faith is everything.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. It's true there are many aspects to the Christian life and many different traits we strive to attain. But today on Brave, Pastor Jeff says the one and only element you must have to truly follow Christ is faith. What exactly is faith? How do we know if we actually have it? And how can we get more of it? Well, that's what we'll discover today as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews called The Greatest. And if you miss any part of these daily programs or you'd like to catch up on earlier lessons from our series, listen anytime at bravemedia.online. But right now, let's join Pastor Jeff for the start of today's message titled, Faith is Key.
This morning I want to talk to you about why it is that some people who call themselves by the name of Christ flourish and continue to accelerate, and yet some just tend to peter out. Some tend to not continue on the journey. Some think that they're doing okay, but they never quite flourish. Some people think there's some magic formula, or they'll say something like this: I'm not really the real Christian type. You know, that's for those people out there. For some reason, my Christian faith has not really been working for me. For some reason, my experience isn't like somebody else's. And how we love to read about missionaries and different missionary biographies and those who the Lord used greatly over time. We love the stories of the Bible and how God used people like that. And sometimes we'll even hear a pastor talk and say that God can use you like that. But we think in our heart, yeah, right, not me. I mean, I'm just one of those average people that sit here. I'm not supernatural in any way. What is it, and why is it, that some people flourish and accelerate all the way to the finish, and yet others come up a little bit short, or others never develop into what God fully wanted them to be? And that's what we're going to take a look at this morning, because the answer is this: it's faith. It's faith. This entire chapter in chapter 11 is going to be dedicated and devoted to what faith is and how faith works. And chapter 11 sometimes is called the Hall of Faith, or God's Honor Roll, or all these other things where we look at what faith is, how faith is applied, how faith works, how faith worked in the life of others, so that we can be motivated to continue on our journey in faith. If you're here today and you would say, I know I love the Lord, I've placed my faith in him, but my life with Jesus doesn't seem to be accelerating the way that I read about in the scriptures. It doesn't seem to be moving the way that I see God move in the scriptures, and I see him do things with others, but I'm not watching him do that with me. I believe that God has a word for you today in how you can apply faith to your life, what faith is and how faith works. And we're gonna take a look at five elements of faith today that can be helpful to you in your journey with Christ. Perhaps it's to get unstuck. Perhaps it's to keep going. Perhaps it's just the belief that God indeed wants to use you for greatness. So if you'd oblige me today by opening up to Hebrews chapter 11, I'm gonna read through the first six verses today. And as I do, then we will highlight five elements of faith that God makes very visible to us right from his word. He says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through him, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." And here in this text, in these six short verses, we really see what it looks like to have a faith life and what some of the elements of faith are. Now, church, we talk about faith all the time. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, we talk about faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And the reason that we won't have faith in heaven is because we'll see faith. The reason we won't have hope in heaven is we'll experience hope, but love will continue to abide. Faith and hope are for the time being. And so what we want to talk about is how faith is the key. Faith is the key element to what God wants. And when you purchase a new house, you can't just use the current keys you have. You have to get a new key. When we purchase new buildings for a church, we have to get a new key, because the key is what opens the door and unlocks the potential of what is there so that we can use what is available to us. Faith is the key that opens up everything for us to experience what it is we read about in God's word. And so as we take a look at five elements of faith today, let's take a look at the first. And that's this, that faith firmly believes in what cannot be seen with great hope. Faith firmly believes in what cannot be seen with great hope. Now at the end of chapter 10, we see, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to preserving of the soul. He said, we're not like those that are going to shrink back. We're not like those that are going to apostate. We're truly born again because Christ has awakened our hearts by faith. We believe he died on the cross. We believe he rose from the dead. He's in us. We belong to him. He's given us the faith to believe. Therefore, we're not going to shrink back. We're going to continue to live this journey of faith. And here's what he says. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, what is assurance? Assurance is the substance, it's the elements, it's the exact representation of faith. I think about it like if you're a chef and you're cooking a certain food, perhaps you're making cookies. There's a key ingredient in baking cookies. Maybe it's baking powder. And if you forget to put that in, your cookies aren't going to be the same. They might have a lot of the ingredients, but they don't have everything they need to become what they are. In the Christian world, you can have a lot of different elements, but without faith, you miss everything. Faith is essential for being all that God wants you to be. It's by faith that we believe in Christ. It's by faith that we grow in Christ. It's by faith that we apply the word. Faith, faith, faith is everything. It's the faith in Jesus. And notice what he says. It's not only the assurance or the substance of things hoped for, it's the conviction of things not seen. It's the conviction is the absolute certainty of a thing. It's the absolute certainty of a thing. If faith is the assurance of things hoped for, faith is the assurance of what we hope for. In this world, we need hope. Right, how do you have hope in this world, right? We have hope in this world because of what our faith is put in. You know, I saw a while back a thing that was put out by Campus Crusade that it looked like a train, and it had facts in the engine, it had faith in the middle, and it had feelings as the caboose. Facts is the truth that drives everything. Truth drives everything if you want to have hope. Faith is what puts that truth into practice, which fuels the train, and then feelings are the outcome. It's so important that we understand that, because we live in a world today where feelings tend to drive everything we do. I don't feel like it. If we're looking for a new job, we tend to trust our feelings. If we're looking for a mate, we tend to trust our feelings. If we're looking to do something else, we trust our feelings. It's all about feelings. Here's what I would encourage you. Don't trust your feelings. Trust the truth of God's word. It's the truth of God's word that we can bank on. How is it, Pastor Jeff, that you can be so certain and have such assurance that even though the world is spiraling out of control, that you have great hope? Because the truth tells me that I do. And by applying that truth in my life, that brings the feelings of hope in my heart. Right? That's what he's talking about here. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. Now, why is that important? Because we live in the world that says seeing is believing. Like once I see it, then I'll believe it. Like I'm not believing that till I see it. One of Jesus' disciples, Thomas, even after he had risen from the dead, even after Jesus had appeared to all the other disciples, even after the disciples told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He said what? Unless I can put my hands into his scars and see him face to face, I will not believe it. What was he saying? Seeing is believing. If I see him, then I'll believe. When Jesus shows up a week later, what happens? He said, hey, Thomas, peace be with you. Hey, put your hands in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And then he says, but you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We live in a world that says seeing is believing. I'll believe it when I see it. Faith works the opposite. I'll believe it and then I'll see it. Believing is seeing. When we believe, then ultimately we'll see it. It works exactly the opposite of how we've been trained our entire life. Faith must come first before we see what God wants to do. There are so many things in the scripture that God shows us, this is how it operates. And we say, okay, Lord, well, if you show me that, then I'll do it. And God's like, no, that's not how it works. You have to come to me first and believe what I'm saying and put that into practice. Then you'll see the result. Then you'll see it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by what? We walk by faith and not by sight. It's the reason David says in Psalm 27:13, I would have despaired had I not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, I'm believing that God's gonna show up. I'm believing he's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. And then I know I'll see it. Now, some people have a hard time with this and they give faith a hard, they give faith a bad rap. They give churches a bad rap. They say, you always talk like that. It's just blind faith. We like tangible things. Friends, everybody to some extent has blind faith. If you've ever eaten at a restaurant, you have blind faith. We don't walk back into the kitchen. We don't know if the person actually washed their hands. We don't know what they did before they came to work or after they went to the bathroom. We don't know. We're believing that it's all good when they serve us that food. Some of us will say, well, I believe, you know, I got to see it first. Some of you have had surgeries where you've allowed somebody to put a mask on you and put you to sleep for a number of hours. You've never even met them before. You don't even know their name. You don't even know where they graduated in their medical class or what they do in their spare time. And you're laying there saying, yeah, go ahead, give me drugs, put me to sleep. I believe you'll wake me back up. Right? So why is it when it comes to faith that we have a harder time? Here's why, because we have rebellious hearts. God gives us enough evidence to believe. He gives us enough in his word so that we can believe. He lays out enough that if you're really willing to come to him, you can know that you can know that you can know that he is. We have a hard time with it because we want him to show us first and then we'll believe. And faith doesn't work that way. For some of you who are not believers in Christ, one of the hardest steps of faith that you'll ever take is believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believing that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the only way to the Father. Believing that he actually laid down his life on a cross in your place for all your sins. Believing by faith that he rose from the dead. Believing by faith that he's still alive. Believing by faith that if you come to him, he'll impart his very life into you. That takes great faith. And if you've done that, then continuing on the journey with Christ takes great faith. I mean, I've said it from this pulpit many, many times. The hardest step of faith you'll ever take is what? The next one. I mean, God wants us to keep on faithing, so it doesn't matter where you are on your journey. God's desire for you is to keep walking by faith and not by sight. It's backwards from how we see things. We want to see the outcome, and then we'll do it. And it works that way in every aspect of our life. Lord, if you show me that my marriage would be put together well, if I acted like this, I'll act like this. God, if you show me that by tithing, you'll open up some new doors for me, I'll tithe. God doesn't work that way. God works in such a way where you see the truth in his word and then you begin to apply it. And when you begin to apply it over time, you will see the evidence of it. Your emotions will always catch up. Emotions are important. Feelings are important. They just shouldn't be the driver in what we do. It shouldn't be the driver. Faith firmly believes in what cannot be seen, but not only does it believe in what cannot be seen, but with great hope. Friends, I have great hope. I have great hope because of what the Word of God says, and I have great hope because the longer I apply it, the more I see that the Word of God is true, right? Faith firmly believes in what cannot be seen with great hope. Secondly is this, faith firmly believes your personal witness matters. Faith firmly believes your personal witness matters. In verse 1, he says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. They gained approval. God approved of what they did. That word approval really comes from the word where we get our word martyr. It means they bore witness to the truth. They testified that faith was real. And he's talking to a group of Jews who have now been converted and are now under the new covenant. And he's saying, even in the old covenant, faith was recognized. Even all of our ancestors that walked with the Lord, faith was being recognized. Under each covenant, old and new, faith is the essential key ingredient to what God recognizes. This is why men of old and women of old gained approval from God, because of their faith. We're going to read in verse 6 that without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. But here's why it's so important. Your personal witness matters, because sometimes here's what I find in church. We like to go to a church that's considered faithful. We want to go someplace where there's a faithful pastor and a faithful congregation and faithful elders, and it makes us feel good to be around faithful people. But here's what God's saying. Are you faithful? Right? Because it's not, are you around faithful people? That's great. But are you being faithful with what God has entrusted to you? This made me think of the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. You can read it this week, Matthew 25, 14 to 30, where Jesus tells a story about going on a journey and giving talents to three different groups of people. A talent was an incalculable amount of money, a large sum of money. One talent was a large sum of money. To one he gave 5 talents, to one he gave 2 talents, to one he gave 1. And then he went away. And he came back to see, what did you do with the talents that I gave you? And the first one that had 5 said, well, you gave me 5. I went out and earned 5 more. Here's 10 talents. The one with 2 said, hey, you gave me 2. I went out and earned 2 more. Here you go. The one he gave 1 said this. Remember what he said? I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow. I knew you weren't worth pleasing. So what I went and did is I went and dug a hole and I buried my talent in the ground. What did he say? He said, here I gave you something to steward. I gave you something by faith to do something with. And here's what you said. I don't want what you gave me. I put it in a hole. I'm giving it back to you. You take it. I never wanted it to begin with. What does he say to that guy? You wicked, lazy servant. Take from him and give it to the one who had 10. What did he say to the one who had 5 and the one who had 2 when they gained 2 more? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of more. See, I don't believe they were faithful because they earned twice as much. I believe they were faithful because they took what was given to them and invested it all to the full. Here's the point of the parable. The point of the parable is God has entrusted special things to each and every one of you. Some of you specific gifts. Some of you are relational. Some of you have the ability to earn money. Some of you are good up front in front of people. Some of you are good calculating things. Some of you are good at math. All of us have different strengths. All of us have different weaknesses. And guess what? Our Creator God made you just the way he wanted to make you so that he could entrust to you certain things in this generation, in this season, so that he could be glorified. Here's the question. How are you stewarding everything that he gave you? See, this is what men of old gained approval for, was their witness. This is what people in this generation gain approval for their witness. The words you want to hear when you meet Jesus face to face are this: well done, good and faithful servant. Everything God entrusted to you belongs to him. All the money you have, all the gifts you have, all the looks you have, everything you have, it's his. Here's the question. How are you stewarding that? What does it look like for you to give it all back to him? What does it look like for you to take all those things and say, God, this is for your glory. How can I use what I have for you? That's what it looks like. That's what faith really looks like put into practice. It's when you believe in what can't be seen and you have great hope knowing that God's going to show up just at the right time and you're very concerned about your personal witness. The Bible tells us in John 3:3, you must be born again. And when you are born again by repenting of your sin and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us a little bit about some things that go on for us. We've been given a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but what? Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm believing what God is going to do, and I'm living now, even though I can't see it, as though God has told me this, and I'm trusting the truth, even though I haven't seen the outcome yet. That's how I'm living. Right? That's what God's calling us to do. It's a challenging word for many of us, because for many of us, we don't care so much about our personal witness. We care about other people's personal witness. We care about our spouse's personal witness. We say things to God like this: Lord, if she would just change, then I'd be willing to change too. We care about our kids' witness. Lord, if they behave, I know I'd be a better parent. Our kids say, God, if you gave me better parents, I'd behave better too. Right? We want to change everybody else's personal witness. If my boss treated me like this, then I'd treat him like that. Faith says, I'm going to treat people the way God wants them to be treated, whether I ever benefit from it at all. That's faith. That's my hope, that God sees me, right? It's our personal witness. It's living in such a way where we know that we're living for an audience of one, and God sees us, and we're going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I did what God wanted me to do. This is how people have gained approval from God all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, and in our generation today. Let me give you a third. Faith firmly believes God's word is trustworthy and authoritative. God's word is trustworthy, means I can trust his word, and his word is authoritative, which means it's in charge of everything in my life. Notice what it says. Now, we're going to read a lot about different people. We're going to read about Noah and Abraham and Moses and Sarah and all these people. But before we read about any of them, we're going to read about God. It says, by faith, what? We understand that the worlds, which is another word for universe, were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So how do we know how this world, how this universe we got was created? By what? By faith. I'll let you know a little secret. You may not know this. We're having some problems in our world right now. Our culture's challenged by some things. Some people have a hard time realizing where it is that we come from. Like, how did we really get here? And whose are we? And to whom do we belong? I mean, all it would take is reading the first 31 verses of Genesis chapter 1, and you would realize there's a God in the universe that created everything out of nothing and did it in 6 literal days and then rested on the 7th to give us a pattern for what a week should look like. You say, Pastor Jeff, you really believe that? 100% absolutely. I will never stand in a line in heaven saying, well, God, you know, I would have believed that, but this great, brilliant man said these things. And Jesus would say, well, who's that? Was he there when I created everything? I was the only eyewitness to all creation, and I told you exactly what happened. God created us. He created us in his image.
You're listening to Brave and the Bible teaching of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. If you've missed any part of today's message titled Faith is Key, or you'd like to catch up on earlier parts of our current series, The Greatest, head over to bravemedia.online. You can also access these daily teachings from Pastor Jeff wherever you are, right from your phone, by downloading the Brave Church app. The app gives you access to his entire sermon archive and provides opportunities to connect with our Brave Church community wherever you are. The app gives you options like joining a small group for Bible study and sharing prayer requests, or using it to stay up to date with ministry events. Just go to your favorite app store and search for Brave Church Denver. And if you're looking for an authentic, Christ-following community, we invite you to join us here at Brave Church. If you're anywhere in the Denver metro area, make plans to visit either of our two campuses in Englewood or Westminster, or join us right from home wherever you are through our online live stream. For details and directions, go to bravemedia.online. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage and click on the Brave Church button. And if you'd like to share a question or comment with Pastor Jeff, we love hearing from you. Our email address is hello@bravechurch.co. Our mailing address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And all of our information is available again at bravemedia.online. And you can connect with us on social media too for spiritual encouragement and updates from the Brave Church ministry. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm your host, Bill Carl. That's the end of today's program. Join us again Monday for part two of today's message, Faith is Key. It's coming up next week, right here on Brave, with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.